Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And I encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me, but you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And you can read a variety of articles that I have there that I've put together. There's a couple of booklets there that I've done over the years. And you can listen to past programs all at livewithpastoral.com. And we also, I want to encourage you to check us out on some of our social media sites. We're on CloudHub, Facebook, Gab, Getter, MeWe, Minds, Parler, Telegram, Truth Social, Twitter, USA.life, YouTube, and Zapit. And you can find some of those things all at livewithpastoral.com. Well, we are going to get back into our program here this evening again. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'd love to talk to you tonight. We've got Terry who's joining us. And Terry, welcome back to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening.
Well, good evening. And, you know, here in northern Ohio, northeastern Ohio in particular, we're recovering from strong winds yesterday nearby a community to where I'm sitting here at the station had a 71-mile-an-hour gust yesterday. That was one of the higher ones. It might have been a 72 somewhere in the area. It was like hurricane-force winds. But up in Canada, of course, you're recovering from the visit of Joe Biden. But I'm sure that's not why you're calling tonight.
The winds really blew in here.
He blew him up there, I guess. That's not why you called tonight. But welcome to the program tonight, Terry.
Good evening. And good evening to all those people in Florida.
Yes. And of course, you know, the southeast part of the United States, not without some problems yesterday. The tornadoes that went through Mississippi in particular, one of them was on the ground, I believe, for 90 miles or more, something like that. And back, when was it? A couple of years ago, we had those severe tornadoes. I keep wanting to say hurricanes, tornadoes going through down there. And it's just that we were talking at church today, but that's where I got hurricanes on the mind. You know, what would you rather go through, a hurricane or a swarm of tornadoes? And some people were advocating, you know, I'd rather go through a hurricane because at least you know where it's at and where it's going to some degree. With tornadoes, especially when they come through at night, you know, they can just drop down out of the sky anywhere. They hit and miss. They skip around seemingly without rhyme or reason and, you know, can be devastating. And there's not much you can do except ride it out. So certainly our heart and our prayers, we were talking about Nehemiah's network before and the work that they do sending in relief efforts to try and help with the people in recovering from some of these things. And during the last hour, I had spoken with Pastor Alan Jenkins, the founder of Nehemiah Network, and it's a ministry of the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio, and if somebody would like to help and find out more, they can contact the Columbia Road Baptist Church, and their webpage is columbiaroad.org. That's columbiaroad.org. And they can find out all the contact information there, how they can help. There's always a need for funds to pay for the supplies that they take down, the relief supplies, as well as the gas that it takes, the fuel, I should say, that it takes to run the trucks down. They load up trucks, and they got men who drive them, and they go in, they partner with churches in the area where it's affected. They'll pass out food, they'll pass out water, they'll pass out blankets, they'll pass out other materials as needed, toiletries and things to help people in some of these devastated communities. And they'll also participate in some other cleanup efforts while they're there. And I just encourage people to check that out at columbiaroad.org for the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio, and ask them about the Nehemiah's Network Disaster Ministry and how you can help out, either donating something material-wise or funds to help them. So I just wanted to get that extra plug in there. Anybody can do that. columbiaroad.org. But Terry, again, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes. I was going to mention, is it possible that the Lord's name was taken out of the Bible?
Well,
Jehovah?
You know, you hear that every once in a while. The Jehovah's Witnesses love to play that old line. I want to say the old canard that they like to use, that God's name was taken out of the Bible. And they, you know... I don't know why they persist in playing that old line, but it wasn't. It was not taken out of the Bible, and you know, we can prove it. I got a Bible program in front of me right now, and I'll do this in real time. I'm looking at the Bible program, and it's got a thing for Strong's Concordance to list the various names that are there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look up the word Lord, L-O-R-D, okay? And the word Lord in the King James Bible, and this is where I recommend the King James Bible, when you look up the word Lord in the King James Bible, the very first instance of it is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." And when you look at that, and you look at the Strong's Concordance word that's there for Lord, you find that Lord in the King James Bible has a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, depending on the typeset, the capital O-R-D might be smaller than the capital L, or in some, it's the same size as the capital L. But it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. There's a reason for that. And if you look at this, you'll see that the word there that's translated Lord is the word that we get Jehovah from. Now, this is critical, because they say Jehovah's taken out of the Bible, but right there it is. And I've had this argument with Jehovah's Witnesses. They say, Jehovah's taken out of the Bible. God's name is taken out of the Bible. And I say, where? And they'll point to a verse like Genesis 2, verse 4. And I say, well, how's it taken out? Well, yeah, it's Jehovah, but they said capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, to tell you that this is Jehovah, and actually we don't really know that Jehovah is the correct pronunciation. It might be Jehovah or some, you know, Yahweh or something a little bit different than Jehovah. But here's the thing: when you look for that word throughout the Bible, you will find that most times it is translated as, you know, the Lord or the Lord, with the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But there are a few instances where it does appear in the Bible as Jehovah in the King James Bible. And there's no problem. So anytime that they say Jehovah's taken out of the Bible, I look and I can tell there it is, because the King James translators let us know where it was. And they did it in such a fashion that we could understand it. And they even used the word Jehovah a couple of times. So this idea that his name Jehovah is taken out of the Bible is a big deal. They think that for some reason the name Jehovah is the most important thing in the Bible. But it's not. I'm trying to think. Go ahead.
The biggest mistake they made too is that Yeshua is another name. That's Jesus' name.
Well, yeah, and when we look at the name, we also have Elohim, have El, we have Adonai, we have a number of names that all are in the Bible. And we know that those are all important names, but see, the various names that are used actually give us insight into God's character, into his nature. And that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses fail to understand. The reason sometimes it's God, sometimes it's Lord with a capital L but not capital O-R-D, is because the context and the use of that, it's emphasizing different aspects of God rather than just simply using the name Jehovah. And so when we look at the Bible and they try to say, oh, God's name's taken out of it, here's the verse I was looking for too. Psalm 138 verse 2. I was just thumbing through here while I was talking and looking for this verse. Psalm 138 verse 2 is very interesting. This is what God says. This is what is recorded here about God's name, and this is David. And David, of course, is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is instructing David what to write, and David writes this in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. So God's name is important, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know what? The word of God is magnified above the name of God, and the Jehovah's Witnesses that capitalize so much on the name Jehovah to the exclusion of all else are guilty of having adulterated the word of God in their New World Translation, which is a travesty, a horrible piece of translation work that makes a mockery of Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. It equates him with a created being, and that reflects their belief that he's actually Michael the Archangel. For instance, in John chapter 3, where it says, or I'm sorry, in John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the New World Translation, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with was a God. And that's a God with a little g. And it's because they believe that he's a created being, and they mock the nature of Jesus Christ in their translation and in their teachings. My Bible says that God has magnified his word above all his name. So if you're going to think the name is important, you ought to think the word is even more important. And they don't.
Well, they took in a lot of names out of the New Testament where it talks about Jesus or Yeshua.
Yes.
And they changed it to Jehovah.
Yeah, and in and of itself, it's not that bad, except that the word Jehovah was not used in conversation. Jesus was the human name that was given to him by Mary and Joseph when he was born.
Right, an angel.
So, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, an angel told Joseph that his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins.
Yeah, so the Jehovah's Witnesses deny his name there.
Right.
And that's just because they're fixated on one of the names of God. Now, Jesus is Jehovah God, and I can prove that from the Scripture very easily if we want to go that direction. But yeah, I can prove from the Scriptures that Jesus is God because the Old Testament says that he is, or that Jesus is Jehovah God is what I mean to say.
Manifested in the flesh.
And look here in Isaiah chapter number, let's see here, chapter 44. And here's one verse amongst several that shows that Jesus is Jehovah God. Let me zero in here, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. And you have to notice the language, the punctuation, how it's written here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, Lord is all capital, meaning this is Jehovah. We could easily say here, "Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel." So Jehovah's name's not removed here. They let us know that this comes from Jehovah, just like if it came with the lowercase letters, it wouldn't have come from Jehovah. Or if it was God, it came from something other than Jehovah. But it's all uppercase, so it lets us know Jehovah was the original word. So thus saith the Lord, or Jehovah, the King of Israel. Then there's a comma, and it says, "and his Redeemer." Now, let me pause for a minute before I read any further. "And his is hearkening back to the Lord, the King of Israel," or Jehovah, King of Israel. Jehovah, King of Israel, has a Redeemer. Not that he needs to be redeemed, but he has someone that he is going to use to redeem us with, because we're the ones that need to be redeemed. But the Redeemer belongs to Jehovah, King of Israel, right? So follow this. "Thus saith the Lord," or Jehovah, the King of Israel, "and his," meaning the Lord or Jehovah, King of Israel's Redeemer, "the Lord of hosts," and Lord is capitalized again, all four letters, which means it's literally the Jehovah of hosts. So the Jehovah of hosts is the Redeemer that belongs to the Jehovah, the King of Israel. And of course, the Jehovah of hosts, the Lord of hosts, as you read through this, is described as the Messiah. It's the Messiah, the Jehovah of hosts, the Redeemer. Jehovah is the Messiah, and
which is Jesus.
Yeah, and look here in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, thy Redeemer, and he that formeth thee in the womb, I am the Lord Jehovah," again, "that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." And in the New Testament, it says that Jesus is the one that God used to create the heavens and the earth. And I'll go there in just a minute. But what he's saying here is Jehovah created the heavens and the earth, and it says that he did it alone. He did it by himself. Now, this is the fatal error that the Jehovah's Witnesses make. They say that God created Jesus and then used Jesus to create the heavens and the earth. Well, you know, I've mentioned this before. I put a deck on the back of my house. And I can say I put a deck on the back of my house, but I can't say I did it alone. I can't say I laid the boards by myself, because a friend of mine helped. It was my idea. It was my money. It was my decision. So I did it, but I did not do it alone. And God could not have said I did it alone. He couldn't say that Jehovah did it alone if he had somebody that did it for him, even though he made the plan. And see, over in Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 1, "God at sundry times in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things," notice, "by whom he made the worlds." Everything was made by the Son, which is Jesus. And the Bible says in Isaiah 44, verse 24, that Jehovah the Redeemer who is described in the previous verse, verse 6, as the Redeemer that belongs to Jehovah, the King of Israel. Jehovah of hosts belongs to Jehovah, King of Israel, that Jehovah, the Redeemer, is the one that made everything. And here the Bible says Jesus is the one that God used to make everything. That's because in the Godhead, God came up with the, God the Father had the plan, the decision, and Jesus, God the Son, Jehovah, God the Son, carried it out.
Right.
And Jesus is the manifestation of God the Son on the earth in human form. So, yeah, this idea that Jehovah is taken out of the Bible, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, what people don't understand either, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and other religions, false religions, is they don't understand that God came down and he became like one of us and he humbled himself as a man.
Yes.
Like, and he prayed to the Father as a man would pray to the Father.
Well,
and he would pray to the Father.
Yeah, and you know that passage that I read there in Hebrews chapter 1?
Yes.
If you go a little further in this, you know, and I've had Jehovah's Witnesses say there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus is called God, which even though he has all the titles of God, Creator and Redeemer and things like that, but notice this in verse number 8. This is Hebrews 1, verse 8. But under the Son, he, referring to God the Father, referring to God that was mentioned earlier, under the Son, he, meaning God, saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. God calls the Son God in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 directly. And then if that's not enough, in verse number 10, God calls Jesus Lord. He says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now, that's pretty good for a book that never calls Jesus God, that God calls Jesus God and Lord in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. That's pretty good for a book that doesn't call Jesus God, huh?
It's pretty straightforward.
Well, if you ask me, it is. And
if people would only, you know, just say, okay, maybe we were wrong. Maybe we should just take a chance and believe who Jesus really is.
You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jehovah's Witnesses are the ones that Paul warned about when he said there would be coming a time, latter days, perilous times, and there would be people who have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And, of course, John said that if someone denies the deity of Christ, in other words, that Jesus is God in the flesh, they are the spirit of Antichrist. And that's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And my advice to anybody, the Jehovah's Witnesses are knocking on your door. You should adopt the relationship to them that John said when he said, don't receive them into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. Let me find that right here. The second epistle of John, there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 2 John has one chapter, and he says this in verse 9 here. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And he says in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, meaning that Jesus, they don't believe Jesus is God, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You know, I've noticed Jehovah's Witnesses don't say goodbye to me generally when they leave me. Because goodbye is a form of saying Godspeed. Like, God be with you, Godspeed your way, you know. And so they know enough not to say that to us, and yet we'll say, well, goodbye, God bless you, you know. And just glad that you're sincere in what you believe and wish them well. No, don't receive them into your house, neither bid them Godspeed, because you're partaking in his evil deeds, and that's what the Bible calls it, evil deeds. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, they're dangerous.
And Satan is like an angel of light.
Oh, absolutely.
He does a really good job deceiving people.
But yes.
That's where I believe that we as believers need to test the spirits wherever they're of God, because there's many false prophets.
Exactly. And one of the quickest ways to make a determination is, what do they say of God? Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is not God. He's a lesser God, a created being. They don't tell you right away, but they believe he's Michael the Archangel. And then you got the Mormons that believe that Jesus is the son of a physical union between Jehovah and Mary, and that he's the elder brother of Lucifer. Again, false teaching. You look at the Muslims who believe that Jesus is not God either. You look at, you could go into some of the Eastern religions like Hinduism and all, that believe that Jesus is just one of many deities. And so anybody that denies the biblical doctrine of Christ, of Jesus Christ, that he is God in the flesh, God the Son manifested in the flesh. There's only one God who exists in the form of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have covered that before. I know we're coming up onto the half-hour break. I got another caller who's waiting. When we look at these things, if people do not believe that, if they do not accept that, what the Bible teaches about Jesus, then they preach another Jesus, which isn't another Jesus. It's a false teaching. And
I've had the Mormons try to tell me that we serve the same Jesus. No, we don't.
And we don't. Exactly. You're right.
Straight out too. I say we don't. Your Jesus is not my Jesus.
Yeah. I mean,
straight out.
You know, and here's the thing: their Jehovah is not your Jehovah either. You know, we talk about the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses in Jehovah, but the Mormons actually teach that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can be. They believe that Jehovah was once a man on, I believe it's the planet Kobold, and he worshiped a god that was the god of that world. And when he was sincere enough in his worship and he did all the right things, he was elevated to godhood after he died, and he was awarded his own planet to be the god of. Now, that's contrary to Scripture, because in that same section in Isaiah, where I was at in Isaiah chapter 44, the chapters around there, 43, 44, 45, 46, in that area, are filled with passages saying that there's only one God and that there is no other God formed before him or after him, which, of course, completely denies Mormon theology, which says that there's an endless chain of gods that were formed before Jehovah and potentially an endless chain of gods that could be formed after Jehovah. All that's directly contrary to the Word of God. And so, of course, they don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah God. They believe he's the physical son of a man who became a god.
Right.
Now, that's not the God of the Bible.
And that all started by a defunct priest. I remember you mentioned that before.
Well, Joseph Smith, I don't think he was a defunct priest. He was a con artist and a swindler.
No. I mean, it started.
Oh, Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Sorry, the Mormons. They don't even try to come right out and tell you that, but they believe that Jesus is a god.
Yeah.
Too.
And you know, it's just all replete with false teaching, false doctrine, denying the biblical teaching of Jesus Christ, and yet, again, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof that Paul had warned about. And what's the solution? Get back into the Word of God. Just like I said there in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible clearly says this: Jesus that God used, God the Son, in other words, that created everything, and that God the Son is called God and Lord. Hey, Terry, we're coming up on the break here in just a minute. And did you have a final thought?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you calling tonight. And I know we'll be talking again in the future, but I want to encourage everybody to keep holding on. We're going to take a break here in just a few minutes. We've got another caller who has been waiting patiently for us, and we'll get to, I believe it's Phyllis here in just a few minutes. But I think we're going to take the break first. We've got just a few seconds before the break. Let me just give you a little bit of information. Before we get into the break, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about me, listen to past programs there. But again, go ahead and stay tuned. We've got a short break, and we'll get right back with our next caller. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we have Phyllis, who's been waiting patiently for us tonight. Phyllis, welcome to the program this evening.
Well, hello, Pastor Al. It's been a while since I called in and talked to you.
Well, it's good to have you on with us tonight. You didn't get blown away in the wind yesterday, obviously, or you wouldn't be talking to me, huh?
I did. I was going to Giant Eagle in the afternoon, and I couldn't believe that my car was blowing around as I was pulling into the parking lot. I could actually feel the force of the winds on my car.
Yeah, it was something. I went to out to a store. We had power. A lot of people around us, north and south of us, east and west of us, were all without power, but we fortunately never lost our power. And
neither did we.
But the store I was going to had lost power, and I had to travel all the way up into Cuyahoga County to find a store that was open with power.
Really? Oh, my goodness. Friends of ours that live in Seven Hills Just reported to my husband today that their winds were over 70 mile per hour in that area that they live in.
And that's just something else.
Seven Hills area.
Just tremendous system that came through with the winds behind it. We lost a tree in our backyard. We have an area that goes back into the woods, and I just fenced it in. Just a few weeks ago, finished the fence in the back, and a big cottonwood tree. It was kind of divided, and the one part was kind of breaking down anyway, coming down. It was supported by two other trees, and the winds just was too much, and all of them came down, and right across a section of my fence. So fortunately, my chickens haven't discovered that they can walk out on the tree trunk right now, but I got to clean that up this week. And keep my chickens
in.
See,
got a job to do ahead of you, huh?
Yeah. Well, you see, I had to put the fence up because they kept wanting to cross the road, and I didn't want them to do that. I asked them why they were crossing the road, but you know how that goes. They never want to give a good answer. So,
are you saying chickens?
Yeah. We have chickens, and they were wanting to go across the road, the neighbor's house, and not just to their front yard, but they wanted to head to their backyards and head up the road to several neighbors up the road. And can't have that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not like our houses are real tight together, but still.
Uh-huh. You have chickens for the purpose of laying eggs?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I grew up with chickens. I grew up on a small farm, and we had, I'm just trying to think. You know, when you're a kid, you don't always necessarily know how many there are. I think we probably had somewhere around two dozen, three dozen laying hens, and they were, we had a large chicken yard, and they ran around out there, and we had Rhode Island Reds, so we always had brown eggs. The only time we had white eggs was at Easter time. My mom would go to the store and buy some white eggs so that we could dye them, you know, because all our chickens, and then later we had some Araucanas that gave some bluish and turquoise and almost greenish colored eggs. And so I like the free range eggs. They have better flavor. I think they got better nutrition. You know what they're eating. And also, I just like the color of the shells. We've got eggs that are brown. We've got some that are kind of an off-white. We've got some that are turquoise. We got some that are almost a turquoise shading into a pinkish color, which is kind of odd looking, but
so
they're pretty.
You don't have to color eggs for
no,
Easter.
No. It's, well, then already our kids are saying, well, we need to go get some. What's that?
You just use the natural color of these colored eggs.
But we're still going to go buy some white eggs so that we can do some of the other speckled colors, you know, and stripe. The things that they have now to dye eggs are a lot different than when we were kids. But
how do you sell the eggs?
No, we don't have that many chickens. I'd like to get more. I will expand more this summer. But we have them mostly for ourselves. I like eggs. My family likes eggs, and it's just nice to have. They're fun to watch. I mean, if anybody's raised chickens, some people, you know, they're like pets and everything, where they practically cuddle them every day. But our chickens are kind of like, they're not really just wild, but they're not really complete pets. They follow me. I'm going to post a picture on my Facebook page. I have one, we call her Chicken Wing, and she's one of our smallest hens. I was going out with a handful of scratch grains to feed her the other day, and she discovered she could fly up and land on the pan while I'm carrying it, and eat the grain before the other chickens can get it. And so now when I go out, she wants to fly up on. My daughter got a picture of it, so I'm gonna have to put it online with Chicken Wing perched on the pan of scratch grains. But they're a lot of fun. It's just fun watching them. And plus the eggs taste
best
good.
Best creatures. Oh, yeah. My. Well, I remember in listening to your program not too long ago, several times, a man would call in by the name of John Brown. Was it John Brown?
Yeah, he was using the name. He was involved in some of the people who were standing up against the drag queen story hours, which are nothing more than grooming events, you know, just making a difference, you know, and they've been successful to some degree.
I've been sharing that story with some friends of mine who we have a prayer group that's been meeting here more than 3 years. We meet every 6 weeks for prayer, so prayer for our nation in light of what's going on. And, of course, as we know, what's going on in our nation, we're just going downhill fast. And so we've been praying. So I shared this with the group and told them to, you know, if you can't, like he had said on your show, if you can't go down to, was it Wadsworth was the last
one? Yeah, Wadsworth was a small conservative town here in northern Ohio, northeastern Ohio. And let me interject this. There is a movement, and I've heard from several sources that funding is coming out of the Biden administration through various avenues to fund people to go into these small conservative towns and to do, to push this agenda. I believe it's the devil's agenda. It's an attack on the image of God. I had put out an article not too long ago entitled "Attacking the Image of God." Actually, about a month in early February, and it's online. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can find it there. But I was going to go down to this one part that I wrote here. Where it says in Genesis 1:27, the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image, both male and female. Consequently, it's not surprising that we are seeing a variety of attacks on the male and female identities of God's image. In doing so, the devil again misrepresents, mocks, and maligns God by attacking both the attitudes and appearances of men and women. For instance, when the devil convinces a man or a woman that they are not really the sex or gender that they were born as, he is successful in attacking the image of God. And I won't read all of it there, but I touch on the whole gender dysphoria thing.
Website then?
Yes, livewithpastoral.com, and just look for the article. It's there. As you go down the article on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a couple of booklets at the top. You'll see a list of previous programs, and then when you get down below the previous programs, let me just follow down here, some audio segments that I have, some science in the Bible that I was doing to help out somebody on another program with back in the past, a few excerpts from some past programs as favorites, and then I have a list of articles, a couple of videos, and then a list of articles. And let me see where I'm at. Oh, you know what? I just realized because of my website being behind that I don't have that caught up in that column. But but having said that, if you go down the center column, you will see it there, because in the center column I have comments, Pastor Al's comments. And I've got my most recent article there, Jesus Makes the Ordinary Extraordinary, and then our church newsletter, some pictures from the National or Cleveland Right to Life, Bring America Back to Life conference that was held here in Independence recently. Then a couple of other things, and you drop down picture at the State House, and then here, attacking the image of God, you'll see it. There's a guy, a knight on a horse battling a dragon, and you'll see that there.
Oh, were you at the Bringing America Back to Life conference?
Yes, ma'am. I was there on Saturday and had the opportunity to be there for the keynote speaker at the dinner on Saturday night at that kind of concluded the conference. And they had Seth Dillon, who's the CEO of the Babylon Bee.
Seth Dillon.
And it was fantastic.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to watch it then. I also have been attending that conference every year. I'm with a ministry called the Shroud of Turin Ministries. You might have seen our booth.
I'm been there in the past. I did not notice it there the Saturday. Some of the booths had actually were breaking down, and I got there a little later on Saturday than I attended.
Oh, it was your Saturday evening, and I think he broke down kind of early on Saturday evening.
I always hate when people break down early. I know sometimes they have to, but I always, it's like our church has a booth at the Summit County Fair every summer. And, you know, on the last night of the fair, there's people who are breaking down as soon as they can. And I just figure we pay good money to be there. We're going to get every minute out of it that we can.
Yeah. Well, he's there for 2 days. I'm usually there one out of the 2 days. I used to go 2 days, but now I'm there with him one whole day.
Yeah.
It's Friday this time. And he told me about Seth Dillon, and he told me to look up his story because he's got humor and satire with his presentation.
He used both, and he brought a very strong pro-life message.
Yes, very strong pro-life. But we've been going there for a number of years, and I'm with his ministry. I help him to book into different churches to give his presentation on the Shroud of Turin.
Yeah, and
so this.
Oh, go ahead.
This has been my passion for a number of years because I actually met him attending one of his presentations some years ago, talking about 15 years ago or 20.
Yeah,
and that I just. The Lord laid it on my heart to just continue, and we made friends, and I used my talent to try to get him bookings at different churches, and actually did a lot of advertising in the past, but now that I'm getting older, I don't do so much of that now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's interesting is the people that you run into there and at the dinner.
Yeah.
I wound up at the table with Chris Long, who's the president of Ohio Christian Alliance, and he's been on the radio with us in the past, and also with the new executive director of Right to Life of Northeastern Ohio, Sarah McGurvey. She replaced Denise Leopold, and Denise retired from that position, and it's kind of interesting. I hadn't had a chance really to meet her, but their booth, they used to always have a booth next to us at the Summit County Fair as well. The Northeast Ohio Right to Life, and so it was nice to be able to meet her and see her as the new director there. But then of course there were other people that you run into and different groups that are there and pro-life groups and
people that you meet.
Yeah, and again, also the turnout was I think it was one of the biggest turnouts that I've seen for the Saturday night, and that's usually the biggest night. But I think it's one of the biggest ones that I've seen. The room was just packed full of people.
It's noted that Molly Smith said that it's the biggest pro-life gathering in the country.
Yeah, and what's nice is if people who did not get an opportunity to see it or are listeners that are outside of Northeastern Ohio want to learn more about it, I believe if you go online, I'm just taking a double checking this, at bringingamericabacktolife.org, that's bringingamericabacktolife.org. If you go there, you can see the list of the things that are there, and I believe that they are, and I don't see it right at the top as I'm looking at it, but I think they're supposed to have some of the programs on here, some of the videos and things. So I encourage people to check it out.
Told me, since I didn't get a chance to see Seth Dillon, to go on the website and to look under programs, you know, and then be able to see a video of his presentation.
Yeah, so people explore that site, bringingamericabacktolife.org.
Do you have to spell it out, or can you abbreviate?
It's all spelled out, bringingamericabacktolife.org.
Yeah, okay.
And they've got some video, and just search through that, and there's also some information to contact people. If you can't find it right away, I'm sure you can contact somebody who will be able to direct you to the area of the site where you can watch some of those things or how to do that.
Yes, my friend David had told me to go on there to watch Seth Dillon, that he was fascinating.
Oh, it was very well done, and I would encourage people to do so.
So what I really called you about, and kind of segued from your call, Nancy, your conversation with Nancy.
Yes.
And the subject of the drag queen story hours.
Yes.
I was watching the local news tonight, Channel 8, and I was just about ready to turn it off because I tend to go to bed early. And so I was going to turn it off, and all of a sudden a news article caught my eye. I saw lots of rainbow flags on this church in Chesterland, called the Community Church of Chesterland, whereby they were talking about vandalism on the church and showing, like, where people threw rocks or something at the side of the church, etc. But the main thing was that church is hosting a drag queen story hour in the church itself. And this is the first time I have seen where, and they actually had the cameras show videos of these drag queens doing their thing inside the church hall in front of
let me interrupt just a second on that when you talked about that, showing what they actually do, and kind of gets your thought here too as you're talking about this. I like to phrase it this way: if those were real women dressed that way doing what they're doing, what would the community's reaction have been?
They'd call the police and they'd haul them off.
Yeah, corrupting minors. You'd have to be an adult to be there. But yet, it's a man imitating a woman, for some reason it's supposed to be celebrated in a church, no less.
But when you see this news article, the coverage was really interviewing the pastor, so-called, quote-unquote, pastor of that church. He was so bizarre to look at. He was even more bizarre to listen to his upholding and defending this horrible drag queen story hour thing. And his language was that of deception.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about this as being a sacred event. You folks I get hate emails all the time condemning me for this sacred event that we consider to be sacred. And then he goes on to say how great it is for unity and, you know, using those buzzwords that they use. It's like a deceptive language.
He talks about unity while he's creating division.
Correct. And gross immorality and totally against the Bible. And he calls himself a church, and he calls himself a pastor. He wears a cleric's collar, but meanwhile, he's got tattoos all over the side of his face and all up around his head. He had a bald head. He had tattoos covering his whole head, the whole side of his face, both sides, and he had these corks in his earlobes. You know, some natives would make these great
gauges,
holes in their earlobes.
Yeah, they call it gauges exactly. Today, yeah. I can remember seeing that in National Geographic when I was like a kid. You would go, look at these people. They stretch their earlobes out.
They stretch their earlobes. He had that.
Yeah.
And he was so bizarre to look at, but he was so deceptive in his language.
Well,
and it reminds me of Satan's ploy, you know, to confuse people, to deceive people, and even showing the signs on the side of the church that talk about this wonderful event they're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and let me put it this way: in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, there's a very clear verse, and I'll just read it. I don't know how it's not understood, especially if he's calling it a sacred event. He may have removed this from his Bible, though. But in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, it says, The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, we could argue about women's fashions, men's fashions, and all this, that, and the other, and about whether or not you can dress up for fun, or you know, comedians do this and things like that. Everybody remembers Flip Wilson and different comedians, Jack Benny, and all dressing as women and different things.
That's true,
but
yeah.
The big point of Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, is the woman that is dressing to pass herself as a man, and the man dressing to pass himself as a woman, not so much as a joke or humorous thing, but actually to say, I am not what God created me as.
Yes.
And this is what we see with the drag queens, and we use the term transvestites and things like that, and it verges into transgenderism. And again, as I said in that article that I had attacking the image of God, this is an attack on the image of God. These are women who are created as women to represent God in the world, saying God made a mistake. God is wrong. Don't look at me the way God created me. And the man is saying, God made a mistake. God is wrong. Don't look at me the way God created me. And so they're attacking what God has done, saying that God is somehow wrong, when it's they that are wrong. And the other aspect of this, too, that you find with these drag queens in particular, it's not that they just dress themselves like a woman and try to pass themselves off as a woman. They dress themselves as a caricature of women, exaggerated features and exaggerated makeup and hairstyles and movements and things. And they do it in a very provocative fashion.
Provocative.
That as I said, if it was an actual woman wearing very, you know, skimpy garments and pushing their backside into the faces of young boys, people would say, well, you can't do that. You're corrupting those young boys. But somehow when it's a man that does it, it's okay. But I think it's part of the devilish attack that we have, and also the recruitment, the grooming, getting children to view this as being okay and acceptable when it's really an abomination in the sight of God.
It is an abomination, and it's so disturbing, Pastor Al, to see it on video.
I got to interrupt here because we're out of time. We got about 10 seconds to go. But thanks for bringing this up, and thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.